that's been an interesting experience. I've done that for about 20 odd years. Started when I was 12. So we started thinking about lots of ways as a business that we could make a change. I guess more so what was important to me was the way that we approached our existence within the community. And it dawned on me some time ago, and I guess it was parallel to my journey with coming back to God, as I should say. But it was perhaps realizing that the idea of pursuing making lots and lots of money wasn't just something that fulfilled us, as a, certainly didn't fulfill me as an individual and didn't fulfill us as a company. And so we started as a group trying to change the way we work. So we started becoming a bit more involved in community issues and at a local level. And then we started thinking about maybe some of the less fortunate people that existed outside the world. And I think it dawned on me at first when I think a gentleman called Scott Hawkins came here and made a presentation some time ago about global compassion. And I was so moved by that presentation that we took up sponsoring some 30-odd children pretty much on the day. And we kept continuing as a business to grow and do more and more things. And we found it not only very personally fulfilling, but we actually found that the more we started to do amongst the community, quite interestingly, miraculously, the more money we made. It was just nuts. We're actually having a record year at Cookeye. And I think it's been a really wonderful thing because coupled with that, it's allowed us to do a whole lot of really interesting work in and amongst the community. I have to apologise because I've used PowerPoint for the first time yesterday and I didn't realise it was going to look so small. So so we actually thought... I asked my kids for help and they just laughed at me. So I don't know. So they were no help at all. But we came up with this idea called Catalyst because we saw our interaction within the community. And we really sort of thought, well, it was great to do charity, but we actually thought we could become more and more involved in what was going on and actually trying to bring about changes in what we were getting involved with. And that actually was a really interesting change to the way we're approaching because the first part of what our existence was as a company was just donating money and then kind of walking away, you know, sort of making yourself feel a bit better and thinking you were doing good. But then we actually found that some of the people that we were looking to donate money to actually needed a bit more help. So since those that time, we've actually become more and more involved as a company. And you'll find quite often on any given day that we've got people in the office running around doing all sorts of things. We've got sometimes priests and pastors wandering in that need a bit of assistance, and it can be quite entertaining. So we came up a way of making official our involvement as an organisation so that we wanted to make a foundation for ourselves and said, well, this is Cookeye and this is actually also what's important to us. And that revolves around a whole lot of things. And I don't know, maybe some of you others have experienced this, but it's interesting when you start to do some really nice, good work in the community. It's sort of one thing leads to another, and it becomes this really wonderful snowball of people and events and outcomes that are really, really positive. And that the more you give, I always think the more you give, God's really just sort of having a real party about this up in heaven because he just says, great, let's bank this guy because he seems to be doing some fantastic stuff. And I must say a personal thank you to Phil because ever since I've been coming here, Phil's messages to me, actually when I first came here, I thought Phil was just speaking to me directly and nobody else. And I certainly did feel the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's taught me a lot about how I should live my life as a man, and I'm sure he has had the same impact on you. So I'm going to drag everybody to the concept of Catalyst, and that's what Cookeye is supporting today. I might just read this because I don't think, if you're all like me, I don't think anyone's got a hope of seeing this. But catalyst, as the name implies, is an agent or change that permeates a permanent change. Having experienced life at both ends of the financial spectrum, I concluded some time ago that money does not buy you happiness, but has provided me with opportunities, experiences and freedom that I may not have otherwise had. I've learned that the continual pursuit of material desires, if unchecked, has no end, and, in a sense, is the precise negative of humane intention, which often implodes in the path of excessive greed with the remnants of the hollow intentions that drove them. I've observed a natural order by which the earth was created and the harmonious nature of its seemingly endless symbiotic networks, whereby almost all living things consume only what they need, with the delicate scales of nature in perfect balance. Its only exception is mankind. I've observed the growing disparity between those blessed with the good fortune of opportunity, created through the ingenious creativity of industrialization, with lesser nations that have not shared the seemingly unbound prosperity. Because of this, I wanted to change the way I, and indeed many others, that I will hope to influence, to perhaps consider a change in the way we not only view the world, but our relationship to the world and those others that remain in a perpetual state of poverty. Thank you. I'm not advocating a revolution of unmitigated perpetual drive, of industrial and capital evolution, but simply the seed by which people may be led to a more prosperous and self-sustaining harmonious future. Nestled within the right to eat, educate, heal, build, endure, and enjoy the most basic rudiments of human life with a moderated and balanced development plan. This plan is the birthplace of Catalyst. Catalyst is the harvester of change, the seed to plant the hope of the poor, the agent to awaken the conscience of their more fortunate neighbour through the virtue of charity. Catalyst will create opportunities for self-sustainable communities with the introduction of businesses that will employ villagers, utilising the surrounding natural competitiveness of their environment. Develop and grow sustainable businesses that allows participants the ability to support themselves within the framework of environmental self-funding commercial enterprises. We teach the poor how to attain prosperity, how to build sustainability, how to support themselves and each other. We enhance and build infrastructure, roads, schools, water, sewerage and power. We support the local community activities at all levels. And all profits from Catalyst businesses will be reinvested not only to build the existing community, but the next. We effectively perpetuate. If we could go to the next screen. So I'm just going to talk through. I won't keep talking. I actually grew up in Fiji in a very, very poor village. And it's actually poorer today than it was when I left at the age of 12. So it typically is a community that's very, very poor. But there is a number of people. I might just keep going through the slides and I'll talk through just the vague points. There are a lot of people living in poverty, and today my village still doesn't have running water. It still has open toilets that people go to. And I guess the message, God speaks to us in many interesting ways. And he spoke to me at my birthday, not this year, but the year before. My best friend when I was young, we were inseparable in that village. My best friend died of typhoid. And he died on the day of my birthday. And it really dawned on me that I think God was saying, tapping me on the shoulder and saying, it's about time you did something because you can. And so I made a special trip over to Fiji and started thinking about what we could do. There are, I guess the main issue with aid, and it happens a lot and I've experienced it personally, is quite often they'll come in and they'll put in infrastructure. And the problem with building roads and building sewerage and building water tanks and whatever you like to do and go away is effectively the infrastructure remains. But beyond that, nothing changes. So you can go back in 20 or 30 years' time and effectively what's happened is the road's still there, it's got lots more potholes. The sewerage system is still there, but it actually doesn't work unless you kick it or twist it or the government comes around and decides to fix it, which may be once every 6 months. And water systems don't work, and hence, you know, an animal died in a water tank, the water got poisoned, and effectively the whole province got typhoid and had to be quarantined. And unfortunately, as part of that, my friend Seville passed away. And for $1,500, we could have put a fence around the water tank, and that would have prevented an animal dying, and obviously prevented a lot of heartache for these people. So not only did someone die, but they actually went and were quarantined from the rest of Fiji for about 6 months, where life was very, very hard for them. We could just skip to the next one. Sorry. So why Catalyst? You know, thinking about the way we do things, we looked at the way these communities existed, and it dawned on me that actually Fijians, whilst being very lovely people, even if I do say so myself, a lot of people that grow up in these communities actually don't have an idea about how to get themselves out of poverty. And even though they might be surrounded with lots and lots of natural resources, they actually have a fairly basic lack of understanding, and therefore a lack of confidence in what they're able to do to trade their way out of poverty. And for many reasons. One, the main reason is lack of capital, but also lack of education. And one of the things that we wanted to do at Catalyst is actually teach people how not just to depend on someone coming in and fixing things for them and going away. We actually wanted to teach them that they could actually become a very self-sustainable community. And so one of the things that we're going to be doing is looking at their natural resources and seeing what we can utilise out of that to make and employ people, and encouraging the whole community. And Fiji is a very interesting place because they work in a village environment, which is very different to a lot of parts of the world. And we want to develop new skills and new trades, and we actually want to help and teach them find new marketplace for their goods and services. Once the first community is self-sufficient, what we're actually also going to try and teach them is they must help the next community. And one of the key things as part of the Catalyst will do is it'll actually be building the foundation of the church. Each and every village must have access to the church and have access to God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, because there's lots of different priests down the way, so we want to encourage one particular church where perhaps lots of the different priests would be able to come and minister to their followers. So a critical part of this plan when Catalyst starts to generate money is that it actually supports first and foremost the priest. And I'll tell you why that's really important, that the moral foundation that God and the church gives us is critical to the success of a community. That is so important. And you can't do this without some moral foundation being laid down by the priest and the churches. So that's going to be critical to the plan. I think I'll just wave at Lester every time if he's up there. So Fiji, of course, is the first place for me to start, because everyone's probably sitting there going, oh, he's only starting in Fiji because that's where he's from. Well, I'm starting in Fiji because I can boss people around, and they they get to do exactly what I need to tell them to do. So I found that the easiest place. And poverty is really everywhere. It is going to be everywhere. It's actually also here. But I can't necessarily just wander into different places in the Northern Territory and start bossing people around, because they'd probably kick me out. So we decided to start in a place where it was going to be easy to implement. It's very close to Australia, it's 3.5 hours. There is a misconception because it's a beautiful tropical island. Everyone seems to think, oh yeah, you know, these guys have got it, because we go there on holidays and we think this place is fantastic. But what you don't see in the hotels is that outside the hotels, people are living on rice and tea for dinner. People sleep on concrete floors if they're lucky. That's the lucky ones. You know, kids don't have clothes. They don't go to school because they don't have school fees. They basically live day to day. And you don't see that when you're in the hotels. And the guys that are in the hotels are actually the lucky ones. They're the ones that have got a job. But 75% of the people are farmers, and they live on very meek income. It is Leicester, I think. So we talk about GDP per capita. The average GDP in Fiji is $4,400 per head, compared to $50,000 in Australia. That number is actually distorted because what you will find in parts of the mainland, you'll probably find that there are people earning $8,000 to $10,000. If you go over to the island that we're going to start in, the income is probably more around $1,200 per annum, and that's probably maximum. Over the past 30 years, for various political reasons, Fiji has struggled to develop. You know, a lot of foreign aid got cut off because there is a dictator in charge, or there's been countless numbers of coups. I think we're up to our sixth. And they're quite a funny thing because nobody ever really notices them, but it just gets on day to day. But the current dictator is actually doing a pretty good job, which is surprising. But there was a lot of corruption in previous governments. He's doing his best, but there is no foreign aid because the minute democracies sort of look at countries and go, well, there's a dictator there, we can't help you, even if he's doing a really good job, a lot of foreign aid gets cut off. So Fiji progressively over the last 10, 20, 30 years has gone backwards. And because of that, there's no investment in education, health and infrastructure. And what actually happens is you get to a point where a community starts to say, well, there's actually no point in educating ourselves because there's no opportunity. So people are getting to this point where they're sort of feeling like, well, I don't want to go to school because there's nothing for me to do. So the average age that people finish school in Fiji at the moment is 13. And they leave and go back and just sit around and basically do very little. All right, Lester, thanks. So if we talk about how Catalyst works, Catalyst structure and partners of Catalyst, this is what I wanted to introduce to you guys today. Next one, Lester, please. So what we're going to do is... this is an interesting idea, and I want to talk a little bit about what Phil spoke about this morning. Just briefly, 4 years ago, four or five years ago, I was at the point of nearly losing my company by various things. And it was actually largely because I'd sort of left God. And I was very lucky to have a person beside me that reminded me that I didn't have God in my life. And I was virtually on the point of appointing an administrator to Cookeye. And it literally was on the moment that I said I'm missing God in my life that my actual world started to change. The company didn't go into administration. We miraculously saved it and turned it around. And as my life progressively went more and more toward God, thanks to people like Phil and the friends that I have around me, and ironically, that big Jamaican man who walks in here late with me every Sunday, it was one of the guys that brought me in here. My life effectively changed and brought me closer and closer to God, and it's been a really wonderful experience, and I think it's the same for everyone. So I took something about 4 years ago. We were still wondering whether we would pay people on Tuesdays, and you know, we'd be on Friday and we'd be praying that, you know, we'd get by. It was quite funny, quite stressful, but quite funny. I came and we just started to do things within the community. We just started donating some money and we weren't in a position to donate any money, but we just sort of felt like if we didn't start then, you know, these people were more desperate than we were. Yeah, we were short of money, but we could make cuts in various areas and we could get, but you know, today we could help somebody. Tomorrow we could help somebody. And whatever it was that we needed, you know, could wait that little bit longer. Now, I think for everyone, God is a very real thing. And, you know, God gives us certain gifts. And I came from a very, very poor village. And somehow I've ended up in Australia. I flunked out of university because I'm pretty dumb anyway. But I'm certainly not an academic. But I by being involved with charity. And this is the really interesting part for us as a community and why specifically I wanted to take it to poorer nations. They don't have often the opportunity to come to God. And by being involved with them at a community level and introducing the church to them where they are, don't have churches, is a really good way of us doing what God wants us to do. This is effectively the structure we operate in at the moment. Cookeye contributes to Catalyst Australia, and we're involved, as I said, with Compassion, which is a great program that Scott Hawkins is doing in Australia. They sponsored, I think now they've got over 100,000 sponsors for children in and around the world. It's a fantastic, fantastic movement. I look at their accounts, they're spending 10% on administration, and Scott, while he's an eccentric man, is a true man of God and does wonderful work everywhere. We also do work with another church which is called St. Joseph's Outreach. We often hear about the Catholics getting victimized. You know, Catholic priests sort of seem to get a bad rap these days. And I think bad news is always something that travels very quickly. But these guys at Outreach are helping some mentally ill people. They look after 24 hours a day, about 15 of them, full time. They also look after critical housing for immigrants and people who have been thrown out of their own homes. And they do a terrific job. And we're also about to start a mobile food program with another church group, and they will drive around on Friday nights in Melbourne and actually feed people who are homeless. And again, these are the people that are just doing amazing things. And I think with Phil now, we're going to do some projects in and around the local community as well through Compass Church. And they're the guys that really deserve the credit because they're just wonderful people. And I think it's important that us capitalists sort of get behind these wonderful people. So then it brings us obviously to Catalyst Fiji. So what we really are wanting to do, and hopefully I've got some pictures on the next one, Lester, we're going to start businesses. And the whole idea behind starting businesses, we will own the business, and what we'll then actually do is employ people within the businesses. So we've looked at their natural environment, thought about fishing, livestock, we've thought about bakeries, and we've thought about farming, and we're looking at many, many ways that we can start businesses, and the launch date is July. So what these businesses will do is it will employ people first and foremost. So there is no employment there at the moment. So at the moment, we're designing a fishing boat. We're looking into corn farming. We're looking into starting a bakery. We're looking into coconut. We're looking... Whatever we can get started, we're going to get started. Now, I have to tell you, I know nothing about these things. But I have enough faith that I know God will make this work. So over the next 12 months, I will be a fisherman. I'll be a baker. I'll milk cows. I will just about do everything and it will work. And what these businesses will do is they will make a profit because that's the one thing I'm good at. What we will do with those profits and then reinvest into housing. So there are some people who are really, really poor. We will rebuild their houses for them. The sewage system that these houses operate, they have a 1 metre tank for septic tanks. So all these houses have got toilets, if they're lucky, or they've got sewage systems that poke into the ground where they live. So in the event of a flood, all this stuff comes up on the ground, and it's very, very, very bad for their health. So we will actually design new housing for them. So we've designed basically a house which lies along the plans on the left, and it's typically what you get in a Fijian village. Their homes, those homes have been there for, I have to tell my age, for 48 years. So those homes have been there for 48 years. They're just tin houses. They've got no toilets. The toilets are holes in the back. And it's now, what is it? It's 2012. I was born in 1964, and people's living conditions are actually worse than when I was there as a kid. Those are some of the wonderful people that we're going to be helping on the right. The guy that died, his house is just the little blue one in the back. They've got two kids that sleep on concrete floors every night. She sleeps on concrete floors. We've just sent them over some new beds, and that's going to be the first house that we're going to rebuild them. So we're actually going to teach them how to live, how to build a relatively affordable home, that's going to have solar power, that's going to have composting toilets, and it's actually going to have nice windows. So we're actually going to teach them how to be in their home and how to treat their home as something that we have here, you know, a place that you can go and actually find some solitude. We can go to the next one, please, Lisa. We've also done some work with schools. In fact, that's been our primary involvement in schools. This is a great school. This was the poorest school in Suva. It was called St. Agnes. So if you were poor, the priests in Suva would take you on for free. They've had to start charging $35 per year for school fees because they were running out of money. So they finally discovered they had to find. So we invested in this school, and we've been investing in this school for some years now. When we went into this school, there were 400 students, very poor students, and they had nothing. I mean, there were days when really they had no desks, they had no classrooms. Today, that school has 1,000 students. And they've actually got a waiting list of people wanting to get into this school. It's now become one of the most sought-after schools in Suva to get into, and the foundation of which is church. The next project that we're wanting to do here is build a hall right in the middle of the school grounds so that we can actually get another 100 students into the church. And because of our involvement, the government is now building a 100-student kindergarten. Okay? So not until you put runs on the board that the government gets behind you. It's always true, right? It's even true here. So then the next project for us will be Selevu Province. So this is going to be our first pilot project which is a province in itself, Fiji, where we're going to start the business. And what I'm going to be here asking you today is hopefully some of you will want to get involved. Now, I can tell you, whichever way you decide to get involved, anything that you might think of, an idea, a gift, your time, is going to be so uplifting for these people. When I went over and told these people what we were going to be doing, they were so excited about the project. And in fact, the first village, now all the men have given up drinking. They've stopped drinking kava, which you can see somewhere in that picture on the right. That's the only way most of the villagers make their living. They sell kava. Now, kava is a mild narcotic. It's actually used for ceremonial drinks. But what you'll find is that the whole village, you know, every day the village drinks this. And it becomes quite a numbing sort of existence, because it's sort of, for those of you that haven't had kava, but it actually makes you very lazy. So what we want to do is take the focus away from something like kava, other than for ceremonial purposes, and start to teach them how to do other things, and hopefully fish, and hopefully farm, and do far more productive things. Now, they're so excited about this that the neighbouring village, who we haven't even promised to do anything for, has also given up drinking for 3 months. I don't know why, I just like it. they are so excited about this, and I think that's a really fantastic thing. It just shows you how pleased and how grateful they are that even though, you know, they're not helping us. You can hear someone like, why are we stopping drinking? We're not getting any help. But they're so excited about that they've actually decided to support the village in kind. And I think that's a really wonderful gesture. But I'm sort of hoping that people will take the time to contribute in whatever way you think you can, whether it's an idea, whether it's a suggestion, whether it's like, I'm a builder, I can help you with plans. Anything like that would be helpful, because I'm effectively running with this thing blind, completely blind. I'm talking to people who build homes, I'm talking to people who build bakeries, and I'm sort of trying to take in as much information as possible and tap into people. I'm also wanting to see if we can introduce free Wi-Fi into the province so that the school children there will have access to computers and the internet and start have a real shot at learning. So that's pictures of Salivra. For those of you that will want to come over and do some volunteer work, because we're encouraging our employees to take some time off and actually go and do some volunteer work in Fiji, it's not such a bad place to get thrown into. It's difficult, you know, the accommodation's not perfect, but that's the environment that you'll be involved with. And I want to show you just here, the cross. There's a 30-metre cross that's on the top of a mountain in this village. Everything that this village does is because of God. They love God, and if you get a chance to go to church there, you'll be so inspired by what these people are. Their whole life is about God, and doing this reiterates the charity work that we'll do will reiterate God's presence in their life. If we can go on to the next one. So here's some of the... I just thought I'd put that in because I wanted to impress everyone. But there's some of the work that we've been doing with a particular house design. We're trying to make the house as sustainable as possible so it doesn't cost them any money to run. So we're putting in solar power. We're putting in composting toilets. So we're trying to develop systems in there where it's actually going to be very cost-effective for them to run. This is the first house. This is the woman here whose husband died on my birthday. She has no income. She, in fact, makes her money by weaving mats. And if she's lucky, she'll sell one or two of those mats every month, and she'll sell it for about $30. These are her two kids, Petter and Naomi, and they sleep on a concrete floor, and we're going to build the first house for them. So some people are just in a condition where they just can't survive properly, and we're hopefully going to employ her in one of the businesses and get her kids so she can afford to send them to school. And there's some of the lovely people on the far right over there that you'll be helping. Everyone will be helpful if you are lucky enough to come on over. So let's go to the next one. So there's some of the businesses again that we're looking to develop. That's very close to the fishing boat that we're designing, and Dennis is helping a lot with that. We're going into farming, we're going into a bakery, we're going into chickens, we're going to a dairy farm, and we're going into coconuts. We go on to the next one. Sorry, Phil, I'm trying to keep this going. What we want to do is effectively by setting this up and trying to show that it works, then we're going to tap into the Fiji government. We're going to tap into Compass Church. And I'm sorry if I seem to be asking, but I think you'll understand it's for a very good reason. We're going to tap into Australian private business. We're going to tap into Rotary. We're going to tap into Australian-based charities and individual volunteers, AusAid and other NGOs. Once we show that this works with people, we think we'll get a lot of people investing because it actually gives people the opportunity to trade their way out of poverty. So we go to the next one. So this is how you can help. Already, Compass this year has donated stationery, which we sent to the three schools. It was a fantastic idea that Nat came up with, which was actually getting used stationery. And it sounds ridiculous, but in some of the schools now, they actually share pencils. Like, so four kids will wait for one yellow pencil, and it will go around to four kids, and they do their work in that respect. So even secondhand stationery that kids don't use at the end of the year is so welcome over in those schools. we've recently sent over some TVs, DVDs. We've sent over some sports equipment. We've sent over, what else have we sent over? Furniture. Goodness knows, we have containers going all the time. But we've sent quite a lot of stuff which is being distributed to flood victims recently. We're working with the Red Cross and the government there in support of the recent victims of the flood. But anything that you guys can think of is always going to be much, much appreciated. And remember that every time we make a donation, every time that you make a little donation, it improves one person's life just that little bit more. And that's quite often all it needs. And that effectively has been the focus of our project. It's how to make and bring about these fantastic, wonderful changes. So I thank you, Phil, for letting me sort of talk to you today because it's been just an idea that we wanted to come up with and we thought we'd be doing it by ourselves. But the more we talk about it with people, the more we found that people actually get quite excited and want to get behind it. And we're so excited about the concept of Catalyst that we feel that if we can show that it works in Fiji, we feel we've got an opportunity to see if we can establish it in other parts of the world that really need it. And the best thing about this is we think Catalyst, it's important for Catalyst to teach people how to trade their way out of poverty, but we're going to use it actually to bring God to them as well because we think that the two go hand in hand. And that's effectively it. So thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks, Rob. Excellent. So it's a massive opportunity. Our first opportunity to be practically involved with this is coming up in July in a couple of months. And we've already had, we've got two guys already that are committed to go for anywhere from sort of 8 to 10 days and to be involved with building that first home and possibly other things as well. It's not going to be a touristy kind of trip. It will be, as you just saw, sleeping in the village and hanging out with people, working all day and just hanging out with people at night. So it's not going to be in a 5-star resort, anything like that. If you want to tack that on afterwards, you're welcome to. But we're just looking for people that think or just even pray about being involved in this trip where we're taking the practical love of Jesus but also have the opportunity just to hang out with people and even share, I guess, the spiritual love of who God is with the people. So you know, we wanted to present that to you today as an opportunity, and there's lots of different ways that you can be involved. And over the coming months, we're just going to let you know what money can buy there. For example, like if you've got want to give $50, well, that'll get you so many chickens, or you know, investing into the fishing element or into any part of the ventures that are taking place. But if you think that you can get that time off work or are willing to give that 8 to 10 days of coming and maybe getting a few calluses and blisters and being involved in building the first homes, we would love for you to let us know. If you have contacts with regards to whether it's solar energy or microeconomics, that sort of thing, if we could just ask that you just email the office and we'll put all those ideas and offers of help into one email and we can pass that to Rob and the team that if you're looking to provide, you know, contacts or resources or in that way, just email to the office and we can sort through that all together. But I think you'll agree that it's just a great opportunity for us to get in on a village transforming project. And the other one is Malawi, which is we're going to do a reconnaissance mission late September, early October. And we'll share more about that as well over the coming months. But at the moment, as a church, we really feel strongly that this project within Fiji and the project within Malawi, the two areas that God has just opened incredible doors for us to be involved. And the one in Malawi, for example, I met a guy from Canada last year in New Jersey. Met him there, but he sends teams in every year to Malawi, to the capital city where we've got land. And so it's amazing how God works. And so we're really excited about Fiji and Malawi. What we'll do is we're just going to close the service now. I'm conscious of time, but if you've got any questions about the Fiji trip or project that Rob's presented, he's just going to hang around and allow you to ask any questions that you like. But been sort of in discussions from as this has been forming, and we just really feel there's a great God opportunity in this for us. So let's pray, and then we'll close the service. Father, we thank you for today, for how blessed we really are. And Lord God, we may not think we've got much, but the little that we can give when it's blessed by you and used for your glory, it's amazing what you can do, because you say to us, what are we going to do? Every single one of us in this room have got something that we can offer to help those that are in need. I pray that we could look up today and we could see the need immediately around us, but even those that are abroad that we can help. So Lord God, we just commit all of this to you, ask your blessing upon your people. Those that couldn't be here today, those that are not well, we ask that you would heal them and bring them strength and peace and your healing power. And so Jesus, we just commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I was just reminded that last thing we're going to do is we just got an opportunity to give towards the Youth Big event. So if you would like to quickly, if you would like to contribute to that in some way, or if you would like one of those giving envelopes, you can use one of those. But thanks, Rob. Great. Rob will be more than happy to answer all your questions. Good work, Rob. Did anyone want a giving envelope that you can just allocate or get the bank details off of that so you can transfer? Just put in the description big event and that'll all go to that. But thank you for supporting that event. God bless you. Have a great week. And look forward to seeing you for Mother's Day next Sunday. Go all the mums. Woohoo!